Let me give you a description about riches and money. Temporary, uncertain, unsatisfying, corruptible, fleeting, deceitful, perishable, a root of all evil. So what does James do? He tells the rich Christian to boast or to glory in the true riches that he has in Christ Jesus.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again. Thank you so much for tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the Epistle of James. On the program today, Pastor concludes the message, Rich Man, Poor Man. Now, let's listen in.
Seven sons, three daughters. Were they all dead? And one day that happened. One day. The only person that stayed there was his wife. Hello. Another story. Now, Job 1:20, listen as I read. After all those things happened, that one day it says Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, the grief, in other words. He fell to the ground and he cursed God. Now, if you know the story of Job, you know that's not true. What did he do? He worshiped God. He worshiped God because God, he knew he belonged to God, and that was his exalted position. He worshiped God, and he said this, "Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Listen, what if you lost everything right now? Think about it, and let's be honest. I mean, everything is gone. Everything. You see that picture of the war there in Israel and Gaza, and how in Gaza, and they were just sitting in their chairs way out in the with their belongings, and as their buildings, their homes were being bombed. If you lost, and there you are, we're sitting right there, you lost everything. But think about it. Your children are gone. Oh, Job lost it all. And loved one, he did not blame God. Do you understand? He didn't lose his faith in God. He didn't stop loving God. I'm going, dear Lord, you know why? He knew that rich or poor, a person's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. And that's what Jesus said. Let me read it to you. You can even hold your place and turn there if you want to. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus was talking and he said unto them, he said, "Take heed and beware. Be on guard of covetousness." Covetousness, you know, the greed, want more and more and more. He says, for one's life, one's true life, he says, does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Covetousness, oh, I want that, I want that. Covetousness is a lie. It's a lie. It whispers to your heart and it says, you know what? If you have that, man, you're going to be living the good life. No, that, no, no, no. The good life is found in one person. His name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? That's who it's found in. And Jesus then spake a parable in Luke 12:16. Here it goes. Jesus spake a parable saying unto them, the ground or the land of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. So he's rich and he had a bumper crop. And he thought within himself, saying, and listen to the eyes and the mise, he says, well, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. This is a good life. You're living the dream. Turn on the Cowboys tonight. You know what I mean? He says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you or demanded back. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? See, the rich man thought he owned everything, but he owned nothing. He didn't even own his own life, did he? He had treasure stored up on earth, but he didn't have anything stored up in heaven. He just thought, well, you know what? The more I have, man, I'm living the dream and so forth. And he started doing all that. And the moment he started, his life was demanded from him and he died. So it was, it says, Jesus says, and so is he or anyone who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God, or rich in his relationship toward God. And the way that you would do that is that you glorify God glorify, boast in your exaltation that God has given unto you. And that's what you're to do. So this person, he lost it all. Question, was this rich person, farmer, whatever he was he a bad guy? Didn't say he was. Was he a thief? Doesn't say he was. Did he not love his family? Didn't say anything like that. Jesus just said one word. You're just a fool. You're a fool. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the God-man, looked at him and said, you are in the parable. You are a fool. You are a fool. You thought that accumulating all this stuff, you thought the abundance of life consisted in that. And it doesn't. Listen, rich or poor, I can assure you this. Life is not found in bigger barns. Amen? Life is not found in a bigger home. There's nothing wrong with a big home. There's nothing wrong with a small home. Just thank God you have a home. Amen? But life is not found there. It's never found in the abundance of the things that we possess, even though the world tells you that it is. Again, life, true life, is only found in one person. His name is Jesus. Amen? Oh, what an exalted position that is. Proverbs 13:7 says this, there is one who makes himself rich, but he has nothing. And there's one who makes himself poor, yet he has great riches. Listen, we live in a land. Would you say that Americans love money? Come on, we all like money, but we don't love it, okay? Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, for the love of money is a root or source of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, meaning I'm eager for money, I want to find it, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's self-inflicted, loved one. So they strayed from the faith. As you've heard expressions or people say, well, so gold replaced God. Yep, that's exactly what happened. So in other words, when you love money, if a person who loves money, here's what they believe. They believe that the money is their provider and that God is not their provider. But the problem with money is this. Money is immoral. Amen? In other words, does money have a personality? Can money do good? Can money do evil? No, it can't. The money takes on your personality. It's in your pocket. Money doesn't have a pocket. Money doesn't have a savings account. You have a savings account. You have money. Amen? So it takes on your personality. You know, you go to the Macy's, I don't know, and you know, you can feel the pulse beating right there in that wallet, you know? You see a Corvette going down the highway. Never mind. Now listen, I encourage you to do something. I encourage you to do it when you have time, a Bible study, and just a simple Bible study on the descriptions of wealth, money, riches in the Bible. Let me give you a description of a few about riches and money. Temporary, riches are uncertain, unsatisfying, corruptible, fleeting, deceitful, perishable, a root of all evil, we just said that. Deceitfulness of riches, Jesus said, they choke out the word of God. So what does James do? He tells the rich Christian to boast or to glory in the true riches that he has in his exalted position that he has in Christ Jesus. And he says, you're going to be brought low. But to be brought low is greater value than all of his wealth. Now, so James says in verse 11, he says, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat, he's talking about the rich guy now, that it withers the grass, its flower falls, its beautiful appearance perishes. So the sun comes up, there's a beautiful flower, it just burns the flower up, it falls over, it's gone. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. So rich or poor, you know, life is short, amen? We're born and all of a sudden it's time to go home. Life is so, so quick. You know, Jesus in his parable, remember the parable of the sower? Whenever he's talking about the seed that's scattered and so forth, and he talks about the one that fell on stony places, Jesus says in Matthew 13:6, he says, when the sun was up, talking about the seed, well, they were scorched, and because it had no root, they withered away, just like the rich man. They withered away. See, wealth is good. Wealth is very good as long as it doesn't possess you. Amen? You possess it. So wealth can, it doesn't have to, but wealth can make a believer spiritually dry. In other words, scorched like that seed that Jesus was talking about. Or it can make a believer spiritually lazy. they seem, you know, I've got so much to do, but my prayer time is now not what it used to be. You just feel secure because if you have a lot of money, but don't ever think that you are secure because you have a lot of money. That's not your security. It's great if you have a lot of money, but it's not your security. Don't look at it. Your security is our Lord. So he says, so the rich man will also fade away, wither and die in his pursuits. That is a very important word. You know, I've taught through James. I think this is my fourth time now. I never did a word study, and I don't know why. I'm guilty of it on that word pursuit, and I should have. But I didn't, because I always break every word down in the Greek. And so let me read it to you again. So the rich man will fade away, wither and die, in his pursuits, literally in his walkings, in his journeyings, okay? So this is speaking of what? It's speaking of a person is constant going here, constant going there, over there, for one specific reason, for the accumulation of riches or wealth. It's also a picture of a person who never rests. They live, but they don't enjoy living. They don't enjoy life. They're always, how can I make a buck here? How can I make this here and so forth? They have no time for God, no time for the Word of God, no time for the house of God, no time. They're just busy, busy, busy. And what happens to a person, like James says, who that's all they do. It says, in his pursuits, that's all they do. They want the accumulation of wealth. He says, you're going to wither, man. That word can also mean this. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to just wear your, where you don't have a life at all. I read an incredible story about this little girl, and her dad was just filthy rich. And man, she had servants and, I mean, maids and, you know what I mean, a wealthy family. And so the servants, you know, the babysitters, whatever you call them, took care of her most of her life. But the dad was always making money, always gone. And he said, and all of a sudden, I don't know when it was, the Great Depression or something, but he lost everything. And then he found himself at home. But he still went out to try to make a living for his family. And every evening when he came home, the little girl would crawl up in his lap and kiss him and hold him and say, oh, Daddy, I'm so glad you're home. Please don't get rich again. Please don't get rich again. Please don't get rich again. Isn't it amazing? See, you accumulate all of that, but you don't see your children grow up. You don't get to see them take their first steps. Do you see what you miss in life? You know, they're sitting on your knees. Is there anything better than that? No. And that's what he's saying right here. You see, if you read, like, for example, in James 4, I think it's 13, he's talking about going here and there to make money. He says, come now, you who say today, tomorrow, hey, we're going to go over to such a place, we're going to go to such a city, and we're going to spend a year there, we're going to buy, sell, and make a profit. In other words, I'm going to leave right now for Colorado, and I have a brand new trade. I'm going to be an artist, and I'm going to sell my artware in Colorado. In other words, it's going to be unique art. I'm going to find all the dead stuff on the road. What do you call that dead stuff? Roadkill. I'm going to do roadkill art. I'm going to pick up that dead thing and slap it against a canvas and sell it. They'll buy it in Colorado. They'll buy it in Colorado, okay? And so that's what they're saying. And look what he says. Whereas, well, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow for what is your life. And look what he says. It's just a vapor. It appears for a little while. Then it's gone. It vanishes away. Life is short. The brevity of life. Oh, instead you ought to say this. If the Lord wills, we shall live and we will do this or that. But now you boast, and there's that word, you glory in your arrogance, and all such glorying or boasting is evil. Now listen, a vapor only has enough time, that's what we are, to find out what the will of God is for your life and my life. Amen? That's all the time we have. That's a big project right there, and that's what we all need to be doing. Now, so the theme of James is about rich people too. It's throughout all of James, and James warns the rich, okay? They're not Christians. They can't be because of the way they treat believers. So you can look in later on in James 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm not going to read it. And then in James 2:2, he mentions how the rich assembly, they come into the assembly. They got gold rings on. They're smart dressers like the people at Calvary. And they come in there and you know, they show partiality. And he says, no, that's sin. And he tells us about the poor being in this world. Aren't they not rich in faith? And so forth. And then you can go to verse 6 and through 8 in chapter 2, and he talks about the unjust rulings and so forth and how they blaspheme the name of Jesus. But look at their end, because in James 5, 1 through 6, they take horrible advantage of the poor. Let's just read that quickly. James 5, 1, come now, you rich. He says, weep, howl, for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold, your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. James practices tolerance, you know. He says, and you have heaped up treasure in these what days? I really believe, remember this is the first New Testament book written, I really believe that James, when he uses the word last days, I believe he is knowing that the temple of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, okay? Because it was destroyed in AD 70, and this was written long before that. He says, in these last days, indeed the wages of the laborers, mean the Christians, who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, well, they cry out, and the cries of the reapers will reach the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath, meaning the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, and you have lived on the earth in what? Pleasure. Why? Ripping off Christians. You've lived this earth in luxury, great lifestyle. Watch this now. And you have fattened, you have nourished your hearts, fed your hearts as in the day of what? Woo! You know what that means? Day of slaughter. Have you ever gone by a slaughterhouse like up in Amarillo? Whew. You know, here you are, you're just a big old fat cow out in the field grazing. All of a sudden, a trailer comes and picks you up. Oh, I'm going for a joyride. No. You go into the slaughterhouse. This is speaking of divine judgment. He says, in that day of slaughter, and look what he says, you have condemned, meaning you've drugged these poor Christians into court. You've taken everything that they have. He says, you've murdered the just. You've killed the innocent so you can have the lifestyle that you want. And look what he says. He does not resist you, meaning the poor Christian doesn't resist you. Why? He has no money to resist you with. You have ripped him off completely and totally. Man, listen, wealth. God never condemns the accumulation of money or wealth, loved one, but he does condemn the abuse of wealth. Do you follow me? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. He adds no sorrow with it. That's the one I want. No sorrow with it. Amen? Yeah. Y'all know the story of the rich young ruler. I know you do. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 and following. Okay, Mark 10. Now, it says there in the Word about Jesus, it says, now as he was going on the road, one came running. And look what this guy did. He knelt before him. Can you see this guy? He's on his knees before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Jesus, the God-man, the Messiah, our Savior. And it says, he knelt before him and asked him, he said, oh, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he's standing or kneeling in front of the right person. He's asking the right question. But you know, salvation is free. You can't, you know, and buy it. Amen. He says, so Jesus said to him, well, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. Meaning, are you calling me God? And he says, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, murder, steal, false witness, defraud, honor mother, father. And it says, and he answered and said to Jesus, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. I bet so, huh? Now, and then Jesus, looking at him, I love this, loved him. I mean, he knew that he was probably a Texan full of bull. You know what I mean? He said, he loved him and said to him, thou lackest, I love the King James, thou lackest one thing. Or in the King James Version, the new one, one thing you lack. One thing is keeping you from really being saved. Now, Pastor Thomas told me, he said, Dad, he said, what it was pride. I told Thomas, I said, well, I think it's the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. But one way or another, they both work together, don't they? Now, he said, go your way. Here's the thing that you lack. Here's all you have to do. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to whom? The poor. Give away your possessions before they possess you. Okay, that's what Jesus is saying. And you, look at the promise, you'll have treasure in heaven and come. Take up the cross, follow me. But the rich young ruler, he was what? Sad at this word. Wow. And he went away sorrowful. What was the reason? For he had great possessions. Now, this command that Jesus commanded him is not for every believer. It's for the guy who lacks one thing, okay? Jesus knew what he needed. So here he comes. He's searching for truth, and he's presented with the greatest opportunity that anyone could ever have. Jesus, come with Jesus and follow me. Follow me. Look at him. He knelt down. He heard Jesus. He rises to his feet. He doesn't speak one word, and he goes away sad and sorrowful, and Jesus runs after him. No, listen to me now. He was almost saved. Almost. That doesn't cut it. He did not lack many things. He only lacked one thing. The rich man was a poor man. He sold out for the perishable instead of the eternal riches. Amen? He just sold it out. He wasn't a ruler. He was being ruled. God was his money. He, in other words, his exaltation, his glory was in great possessions. And you know what he did? He rises and he leaves Jesus in the same, worse condition, actually, but the same condition he was when he came to him. And you know what's really sad? Is that the rich young ruler, he heard the command, sell everything you have, take up your cross and follow me. You'll have great treasure. He heard the command, but he missed the promise of Jesus. And you know what that was? Verse 28, when Peter said to the Lord, hey, whoa, see? We've left all, man, and we followed you. And Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one, that includes you, that includes me. There is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive what? 100-fold when? In heaven? No, right now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Is that a depressing story? I mean, to come to the Lord and you leave in the worst condition? Maybe you're listening live. Maybe you're listening on the radio. Maybe you're sitting here. It would be a tragedy for you to walk into Calvary Chapel if you're an unbeliever, if you're not saved, and leave here in that condition. That would be the worst thing in the world. I mean, to come in and hear what you've heard right now, that the only kind of true life is found with Jesus. There's no other way to get it. Maybe there's one, if you're lost, if you don't know Christ, listen to me. There's not many things stopping you. There's only about one thing. Just one thing. Thou lackest one thing. Jesus said, why don't you just drop it and come to me? You know, Jesus was talking about living in life, and he said, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? The whole world. I mean, the whole world. But he loses his own soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You want me to tell you? What will a man give? What is your soul worth? If you're not a Christian, let me tell you what it's worth. Thou lackest that one thing, and that one thing is what you want more than Jesus. What is your soul worth? You're going to sell out for the world? The world is passing away. It's not going to be here, man. You can't take it with you. But you can have eternal riches. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be a new creation in Christ. What is your soul worth? Let me tell you what it is. To God, let me tell you, your soul is worth this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life.
Pastor Bill's study from James continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we trust you'll tune in once again. As always, we appreciate the privilege of your time. Until next time, May the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.